Hello again, beloved Stigmatine confrères and all those associated with the Stigmatine groups and chance listeners who may have stopped by. Thank you very much. We are engaged here in a description, a theological meditation, and I hope contemplation, on the original constitutions. And we're applying, as the Jesuits have done with their constitutions, the mystery of the Most Blessed Trinity on this very expansive idea that St. Ignatius had, and I believe something similar can be found in what St. Gaspar Bertone presents to us. So we're looking at his great insistence on personal holiness and personal intellectual competence. He emphasizes greatly the need of libraries so that men will have the time and the effort and be encouraged to study. And then we'll look again at the great struggle with contemplata tradere, but in this context, specialization and unity. So let us begin with a prayer. The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, the holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. And St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're looking at this struggle between specialization, real competence in an area, and then how do we stay together in unity when other groups are not so inclined. This sense of communion we're going to look at in another series of Stigmatine conferences on community and church community, Holy Communion and Church Communion. But here we're looking at specialization and unity. They seem to be contrasts, or maybe let's call them antinomies. They seem opposed, but they're meant to help one another. The banding together is to be an encouragement to others who may be specialized, and the specialized people sharing the wealth of their knowledge to elevate the whole body. So this doesn't mean to set a man off as a prima donna or somebody who's such an expert or renowned to say, well, there goes the theologian. Let our theologian be Jesus Christ and his servant, St. Gaspar Bertone. So we saw earlier that this broad ideal of the apostolic mission would never have forced anyone to preach or to teach, even though these are held in such high regard. We mentioned the Father Richard Tabarelli, an absolute genius, compared then to Father Modesto Kiner, who was a very humble, meek, timid man, as was our second general, Father John Linardi. He's compared to a Coniglio Timido, a timid rabbit. But this Father Kiner, even though he was not a great scholar nor a great teacher, he put together a library. He really knew books. And he assembled, to some extent, a large extent, I believe, what we now think of as the Founders Library. And through the wonderful intervention of our confreres in Italy, they have put this back together in where it can really be visited and quoted with profit still. Anyway, this insistence on a library was what enables Father Kiner to dedicate his life to. He knew books, and that's a great help when you're living with young students. So the stipulation regarding the libraries was geared to the qualification of all the members. There was no recreational reading in this library. It was all theology, scripture, canon law, spirituality, and so on. There is certainly a place for recreational reading, but in those times of urgent church needs, St. Gaspar wanted to make sure our men had the best possible preparation. So in the present moment of the history of the church, there is so often a repeated appeal for updating, going back to the sources, and moving ahead toward a new evangelization, ongoing formation. This new evangelization isn't new teachings. It's to teach divine revelation in a new, interesting, and attractive way. the Stigmatine founder dreamed that his community would be truly able and prepared to do this. His grandiose plan was so much admired by the bishops of Verona, who first came to know of St. Gaspar and his work, as we've already seen. Bishop Benedict Riccobono, who died March 31, 1879, as the Archbishop of Trent, served for a number of years as Bishop of Verona. And in our Stigmatine necrology, he is still considered a benefactor to the Stigmatine congregation, much admired in the preparation of the early Stigmatines whom he knew. He let them have his own residence in the mountains of Trent as our student house. He was so impressed with St. Gaspar. He offered his summer home to the students so that their studies would not be interrupted during the long struggles with the Italian government. The library that was established there produced some very brilliant young students. This emphasis is that this be done in community, a family life. Therefore, it is most important that the health of the students be taken care of in this dedication to very serious studies, which take a lifetime to master. Once again, St. Gaspar follows the Jesuits. Number 62. It shall be incumbent on the superior to see to it that the students do not apply themselves to study at times that are harmful to their physical health, that they get enough sleep, that they observe due moderation in their studies in order that they might devote themselves for a longer time in mastering the arts and sciences on behalf of their service, obsequium, of the church. So this closely paraphrases what Suarez held for in the Jesuit rule. So the injunction seems to be almost a maternal understanding, a practical suggestion regarding the situation of our candidates striving for approval and for their own progress. The Constitution is this Part 4, treating of progress in the spiritual, intellectual, and juridical life of the congregation. The study that St. Gaspar presents here is a real challenge to the physical and intellectual capacity of anyone. The more intelligent can certainly go much further, but whatever state your mind might be in, you had to have a good physical makeup. One of the ideals seems to be that of ongoing preparation as part of the asceticism of the community. We don't have community modifications. But this ongoing study, this updating, this continuing formation is certainly a penitential ideal. So the original constitution is much like would a good mother present prudence as important in the Stigmatine life of study. True learning, expertise in any field as the work of a lifetime. We might think of a phrase of the English spiritual writer C.S. Lewis and his slow-paced we come. The modern ideal of an entire church is ongoing, permanent religious and intellectual conversion as the daily situation in the church. St. Gaspar presents his challenge in these terms in number 59. And that special attention and care shall be given to those who do study, that they do not endanger their health or lack anything that is necessary for this progress. Therefore, with regard to their diet and apparel and their appropriate and needful recreation, the superior will do his best to dispel all the worries and preoccupations about such matters, so that the students may more than more easily put up with their lifelong burden of study and be satisfied with the care and attention offered them by religious life. As St. Gaspar puts in his rule for taking care of the sick in such a tender manner that the confreres would not be yearning for the loving affection of their own mothers. So on behalf of the church in ecclesiae obsequium, for the greater glory of God, these are major concerns throughout all of this. This is all that matters. Bring God glory and serve the church better. These joint intentions permeate the constitutions of St. Ignatius, St. Gaspar Bertoni, and it was much inspired by this spirit. These studies can never be allowed to lessen piety. Number 66. It shall be incumbent on superiors to see that the stress of studies is not detrimental to their love of piety, and that too many exercises of piety be not a hindrance to their necessary studies. We're not monks. We're monks in the house, but missionaries outside. This then leads us to one of St. Gaspar's pet ideas, specialization. There is always the risk in a life that demands ongoing improvement to settle in for mediocrity. It's the great enemy of perfection, the tedium vitae, the boredom of life that can come to any one of us. So St. Gaspar is like charging ahead of us up San Juan Hill into the spiritual combat. Or he's like somebody that's showing you how to do something. It is said in one of the descriptions, I think it was his first biographer, Father Jacobi, who was a seminarian when St. Gaspar used to be the spiritual director there. And he said, no matter when you went by his room, what hour of the day or night, when he was giving us those days of recollection, when he wasn't in the pulpit, he was studying or praying in the choir loft, even late at night. So his studies were called studi severi, severe studies. But the message was always very gentle and encouraging. So there's great paradox here, to be faithful to the past, but creative toward the future. Go back to the sources, but to share the new evangelization. One stigmatine means of doing this might be contained in those famous paradoxes noted by the Superior General Father John Baptist Tomasi on our first centenary in 1916, that there be a full development of the single activities of all the members through constant study. And that is a very difficult ideal to maintain. So let's look at specialization. The Stigmatine Founders' original constitutions emphasize this to a great extent. The ideal is developed as, again, in Part 4, treating of progress among the members in their spiritual and intellectual life. Take, for example, number 49, which also quotes St. Thomas Aquinas. In this clerical congregation, which aims not only to contemplate the divine things, but also to teach these contemplated truths to others. Therefore, all the members shall possess not ordinary, but a perfect knowledge of those things which pertain to faith and morals. Therefore, it is necessary that the religious clerics of this institute eagerly strive to acquire such knowledge perfectly. So it's those antinomies that sometimes do us in, like Martha and Mary. Should we commit it to work or to prayer? And the ideal is a wisdom balance of both. And here, should we do study or should we pray or rest and recreate? The problem is sometimes the latter takes over the former. Sometimes we'd rather be more involved, it's more rewarding, whereas study and real spiritual contemplation are very similar. Like St. Paul, you grope in the dark for some little nugget of knowledge and a deeper understanding. So in this instance, Father Bertone has taken this constitution, and the next one we'll look at in a moment, word for word from Suarez. As the scope of the congregation is any ministry of the Word of God whatsoever. Quod cumque is the Latin word. This exalted purpose requires the lifelong effort to excel in some aspect of God's Word and to increase this expertise also technically, along with the invaluable lived experience that increases with the passing of time. St. Gaspar returns to this idea in the very next number. And incidentally, this is a living of what we have in De Verbum 8. The only way faith can grow in the church would be to follow four pillars, or the only way vocation increases: contemplation, study, magisterium, and one's lived experience. So in Constitution 50, the next one following the one quoted above, in order to be able, therefore, to enlighten minds which dwell in darkness, to counteract the onslaughts of heresy, to know how to defend one's religion, or to solve the moral problems which arise, and to give a satisfactory answer to all in all things regarding the faith, it is of prime importance that each one of us be adequately trained in the science of theology, both positive and scholastic, speculative and moral. This is our prime area of study. And in, as we all know, we had little cliché sayings like, oh, in recreation, don't talk shop. That would mean don't talk about spiritual things or theology. And even though this was not so much forced on us, it was inculcated sometimes. And sometimes, you know, you wonder if this we could do a little bit better, all of us. This constitution sees the faith as something to be defended. Suarez and Saint Ignatius was writing in the context of the Protestant rebellion or Reformation on private interpretation. Each one can decide what God's word is inspiring. But the challenge of the stigmatine is to enlighten minds to search for solutions for the complex questions of the time, the political issues. To this day, this constitution offers a genuine, shining challenge. The stigmatine founder's approach is always to have a broad-based support for ongoing, updating process throughout one's entire life. In the area of specialization, the needs of the church and the changing times are predominant considerations. The entire program is one that is meant to serve the church and not to manicure somebody's fingernails, not to get a degree so it looks good when you sign your name. It's all meant for service. Like I would imagine a young doctor in medical school who wants really to try hard so that he might really help people. It's that kind of an ideal that St. Gaspar seems to communicate. And lawyers, how often lawyers will practice cases or have these tape recordings of cases in court so they learn procedures and so on. And it's ongoing preparation as long as they live. Sometimes, like our children in catechism, once a child is confirmed, he or she hardly ever returns to catechism. One of our dangers is, once we are ordained, to never pick up a book again and to waste scads of endless time on matters that really do not make any difference at all. Therefore, there shall be individuals, this is number 57, who specialize in one or other of these branches of knowledge for a longer time and with greater diligence. This is of the utmost importance for the various services, obsequia, that we must offer to the church according to the diversity of the times and the circumstances. We're not saying you have to be a Thomist who teaches at a Thomistic university. We're saying to help the bishops, maybe, as I had been blessed to do most of my life, as a adjunct spiritual assistant in a seminary, and a teacher when possible. Father Bettoni's dream was true competence in every branch of the sacred sciences, especially for the varying times, circumstances, and needs of the church as expressed by the bishops, and all this done and achieved by holy men. A real spiritual study, sacred sciences, this consecration to God's holy word, to see if we could break it up like a loaf of bread from a loving father. There is no single apostolate envisioned by Father Bettoni. There will always be a real need of those who have competence in various sacred sciences. But since the end of the congregation is not only the specialized ministry toward the clergy in the consecrated state, there are also other apostolic needs that have to be met. Making allowances for the language of the times, the founder asked for true competence in other fields as well, number 58. Although these studies in the congregation refer primarily to theology and the sacred scripture, our members shall chiefly and more often strive to attain knowledge in these sciences. Nevertheless, some members shall devote themselves more at length to the study of even minor branches of knowledge in order to specialize and distinguish themselves in them for the realization of the goals noted above. So this is a rule from the Jesuit tradition, copied by Saint Caspar Bertone. So this entire section on the broad sweep of specialization in the mind of Saint Caspar Bertone is taken directly and almost totally from Suarez. Underlying all of this is a spirit of apostolic abandonment. The actual work or ministry that the Sistine-Maritimes will be called upon to do will always depend on the changing various needs of the Church as history unfolds and these are presented to us by the bishops. The great diversity of missions envisioned by Father Bertone, taken from his Ignatian inspiration, require a very varied preparation. St. Caspar was the apostle of youth. St. Caspar was the apostle of the clergy and religious. He was also one totally committed to communicating the Word of God in catechism to the simplest of the simple. So the theme of specialization then receives further application in part 9 of Father Bertone's constitutions, numbers 158-186. These are the part that is concerned with the graduate fathers, the professed, properly so-called, that is, those raised to the dignity of the title of apostolic missionary, properly so-called. It is to them that are assigned the more weighty ministries, ministeria graviora, of the apostolic mission. These constitutions are taken word from word from Father Suarez. I remember in my day in the St. Agatha's in Rome at our general house from 1952 to 1956, Father John Baptist Tomasi was spiritual director of priests and bishops, the sister of Pope Pius XII, and the first spiritual father of the Folclorini, this organization approved by first approval from the Sistine Archbishop Carlo De Ferrari of Trent. And we really understood that this was a real Sistine mission. And in these later years, particularly Father Tomasi, and she is most fondly remembered in the Folclorini beginning and in their history. So this is a theology of the fourth vow, the professed, the graduate fathers of those who have need of a lifelong study for more than ordinary knowledge and a very holy life. The next constitution, 159, we find again, a more than ordinary scientific culture is required. This means, of course, theological, official theological study. And a very good proof of their probity of life, their exemplary manners, and their dominion over their passions, that they not be carried away by every flight of fancy, which in the post-Vatican II era, there was a lot of that that went on. People really got involved in movements and situations that really had nothing to do with the doctrine of the Church or sacred scripture. So this area of concentration of the community envisioned is always any ministry whatsoever of the Word of God. Great benefit might be garnered by all who would truly pray over the dogmatic constitution of Vatican II De Verbum. In this document, there is a central article dedicated to the development, the increase of faith within the Church. Pondering on it in the light of the Sistine-Maritime Charism, every one of us could find much with which to be inspired through these important ideas. And I quote paragraph number 8. This sacred tradition, which comes from the apostles, develops in the Church a development of dogma here with the help of the Holy Spirit. There is a growth in the understanding, not in the revelation, but the understanding. Revelation ended in the apostolic era. But there is needed a growth in the understanding of the realities and the words which have been handed down to us in tradition. This happens through the contemplation and study made by believers who, like Mary, treasure these things in their hearts. And the quote is Luke 2:19 and 51. Through the understanding of spiritual things they experience and through the preaching of those who have received through episcopal succession the sure gift of truth. After all of this, then we need once again, or St. Caspar offers to us once again, a principle of unity. If one goes off so much on his own in a particular field of endeavor and loses interest in community, it would seem to me that this is really not what St. Gaspar meant. Anyway, let's take a look at this. Specialization, competence, learning. Pope Paul says, compares to wealth. Religious have the great opportunity of education. And he said, be careful it doesn't become like wealth and separate you from the ordinary people. Not even religious habit can unify. The habit does not make the monk. But in this rule, each one wears what would be best in accord with the better clerical customs wherever each might serve in the church. Most dioceses have a rule how priests are supposed to dress. So there is much insistence, my Father Bertone, on the wide variety of ministries and plurality of specializations, on that distinction noted in the fourth gospel. By the love that you have for one another, everyone will know that you are my disciple. If we're just smart, they might say he's an intelligent man. If we're smart and we love each other, hopefully they could say, whoever sees me sees Christ or the Stigmatine. So part 10 of St. Gaspar's original constitutions emphasized very much this unity, the union of the community. This is the broadest part of his entire legislation, and much of it is taken directly, word for word, from the commentary of Suarez. For Father Bertone, this is the overriding challenge, union in diversity, community with plurality, a family committed to a broad variety of ministries. Christ's words in St. John's Gospel are meant to be the only distinctive mark this community would have. They won't know us by our hoods or our belts or our sashes or any of these things. They're supposed to be able to see us by our love. The idealized example of the early church described in the summaries found in the Acts of the Apostles, for example, chapter 2, 4 to 7, and chapter 4, 32 to 35. St. Gaspar quotes Acts 4:32 twice. Father Bertone lists some negative means of this, not offending converts. We used to have some very serious rules, no nicknames. I remember a Stigmatine convert who made a very silly, stupid mistake, if you want, when he was 18. When he was dying, he was still remembered as Goofy. 70 years had gone by, and he was Goofy. It's very demeaning to be the butt of jokes, and it's funny, but what do they tell us? That ridicule is the lowest part of humor. So that kind of stuff really is, St. Gaspar would see as hostile to unity. So the chapters on negative means, this entire section, again, is almost taken directly from Suarez. We've seen this a bit before, and we'll see it again when we speak of communion. So I'll wrap this up in another conference on now bringing the mystery of the Trinity to this great diversity. There's a great need to know as Jesus Christ knew, this to teach as Christ Jesus taught, to try to live as Christ Jesus would live. The Stigmatine is one dedicated to the wounds of Jesus Christ, passing through these portals into the heart of Jesus Christ, into his fundamental spirit. It's not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. I have not come for my own glory, but the glory of God the Father. So we'll wrap this up here now and with a prayer. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.